Transfiguration Day, the Transfiguration of our Lord. We'll talk about it more in the sermon, but the season of Epiphany is drawn to a close, and it's hard to imagine. Lent begins this Wednesday, and I just hope all of you will celebrate a wonderful Valentine, because you know you can't have Valentine without having Lent. Because if you look at the word Valentine, the center word is L-E-N-T, Lent. So while all of you are going to be wishing everyone else a happy Valentine's and telling them how much they're loved, I'm going to be putting dirt on people's foreheads and telling them they're going to die. So, so please join one of our Ash Wednesday services. I'm actually doing three, not alone of course, but I'm doing three, 7 o'clock in the morning at Forest Community Church on Thomas Jefferson. I'll do about a 45-minute service, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then I'm doing one at 11 o'clock at Appomattox Christian Academy. If you're in that area, would like to come. They're also having a Shrove Tuesday pancake supper on Tuesday night there if you'd like to attend. And then we'll be doing one at 7 p.m. at Forest Community Church as well. So hopefully you'll avail yourself to this way to start and have a good Lent. One other announcement is you'll see that the survey is again in the bulletin about whether or not you would like to purchase your own items for the shoebox, or if you'd rather just make contributions and have others do it. And you, when you walk out, there'll be a gold-colored offering plate. Put your vote in there so we'll know. You don't have to put your name on it. They just want to get an idea about it. And then also I'll put again the ministry that will begin in May of healing and health as we one Sunday a month have that. Andy, anything you want to say about that?
No, just that it's going to be a time of prayer, fellowship, communion, and there'll be a time to come up and receive a healing prayer, anointed with oil, and there'll be other people in the congregation helping myself with that. So I encourage you to come out, you know, if you have an illness or something you want to pray about, or you just want to join with others and pray for those who are sick and suffering.
Great. Looking forward to it. And if you're interested in being part of that, see Andy sometime. Any other announcements? Mona had such a thoughtful idea. Of course, you know that Katie is in the hospital. I'll mention her in a minute. And she'll have surgery tomorrow. And of course, I'll be there. But Mona brought a Get Well card that we're going to circulate if you'll sign it to Katie. Thank you. Circulate that, and if it's done, I'll take it with me tomorrow as I go. So now let's move to prayer requests. And as I'm mentioning Katie, we want to keep her in prayer. She looked okay last night, far better than she did Friday morning. But it's really only hurting her when she moves, so she's trying to stay pretty still. But they're going to have a surgery tomorrow where they'll go in first with the camera and see if there are any active blisters, they called it, which basically means to see if there's more that could pop, I guess, and the fluid go out, because that's been what's been offending her lungs. And then they'll remove the ones that are still a potential problem. So keep Katie in your prayers as she has that tomorrow. I also want to verbally mention, Sue called me last night, but the bulletin had been printed. If you look about halfway down, you'll see her brother-in-law mentioned Dick. Dick had a mini stroke this past week, they think, and we just want to keep him in our prayers. And Sue, any update on that?
Well, they think that was the symptoms of a mini stroke, but they're going to do some neurological testing this week.
So symptoms of a mini stroke, but they're going to do some more testing this week, and they're in Alabama, right?
Yes. Pardon?
Alabama?
Yeah.
They're in Alabama, so let's keep them in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Judy?
My hospice patient Francis, I'll ask for prayer for a granddaughter that Brittany that was in a horrible car accident.
What's her first name?
My...
Francis is...
And her granddaughter Brittany that was in a devastating car accident.
Okay. Let's keep Brittany in our prayers. Any others? Yes, Glenn?
I'd like to have prayer for my wife, please.
Okay.
For her heart condition.
Let's keep... I don't have a pen, sorry. Thank you. And my memory is not. So let's keep Ruth. Thank you. And Brittany. Please keep Ruth in our prayers. And let's keep Brittany in this accident. And Robert was telling me it was a multiple car accident on Oxford Furnace Hill last night. So let's keep that accident in our prayers. And let's pray for those that will be traveling. I hear it's a dangerous thing to do after the Super Bowl, so let's pray for those. Any other? You had one. Yes.
Like Kathy Smith, who's having trauma with her oxygen level. She's at UVA.
Let's keep Kathy Smith in our prayers at UVA. She's having problems with oxygen. And let's keep Carolyn in prayer. She's such a good friend. She's going to drive up to UVA and stay with Kathy overnight. So let's keep them in prayer. Yes, ma'am.
I just have some unspoken requests for family.
Unspoken requests from Sherry. All right. Anyone else? Kate Rabon?
Sam Ripley.
Who? Sam Ripley.
Riley.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Unspoken.
An unspoken for Sarah. All right. No, sorry. Yes, ma'am.
My aunt and uncle, my aunt's brother just died, and my uncle's just been placed on hospice.
Your aunt's brother just died, and her husband was put on hospice. Okay. Are they in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Any update on the family that in the fire?
So they're all the living survivors are out of the hospital.
Praise God. Praise God. That's good. All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My good friend Paul Balderson had back surgery. I think he's doing pretty well, but at his age, it could be pretty rough.
Okay. Let's keep Paul Balderson in our prayers. Also, you'll see about an inch and a quarter down, we do have a date, and I'd like you to commit to me and to her that you will lift up our sister Agnes every day until March 7th when she has her surgery at UVA, that it'll go very well. So keep that in prayer and start bathing it now. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you just for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the shelter you are from the storms of life. And while you never promised that we would not have to walk through those storms, you gave us an absolute promise that you would walk with us, you would protect us, yea, you would even carry us. We know we can look not very far back and know we were and are being carried by you, because we understand that of our own constitution, we're just as frail as dust. But we know that in Christ, we are more than overcomers. May we trust you as we walk through the process of what overcoming is. Forgive us of those times where we've been impatient with your work. Forgive us of those times where we thought because we couldn't see it, you weren't working. But may we trust you, not based on the evidence, but based on your truth. Your word, which is eternally settled in heaven, and we're grateful. And your word tells us that you care for us and to cast our cares upon you. So here we are to cast our cares upon you. We pray that you would be with Ann's uncle, who has just been put on hospice, and his wife, who just lost her brother. We pray that you would be with those that are recovering. We pray that you'd be with Paul. We pray that you would be with Kathy, with Sam, with Brittany. We pray for those, and Dick. We pray for those that have upcoming surgeries, Katie tomorrow, Agnes in about a month. We pray for those who just need your touch. We ask for your presence with Ruth. We ask for your presence with Sam Riley. And we just pray that you would be with those in the accident on 460. Be with those that are traveling today, especially Carolyn, as she goes up to be with Kathy. We pray that you would be with those. We ask that you would be with the unspokens that Sherry and Sarah mentioned that they have, and for the one that comes to our mind at this time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your glory that we find only in Christ Jesus. And we ask this prayer in his name. Amen. As always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and the hope of the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll look with me to the insert. We'll use the first six verses of Psalm 50, and then we'll stand and sing together, Holy, Holy, Holy. The Lord, the God of hosts, has spoken. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
At the time of Zion, the Lord proclaims his beauty. God reveals himself in glory.
Our God will come and will not keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him a raging storm.
He calls the heavens and the earth from above. His wind is the judgment of his people.
Gather before me, my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice.
Let the heavens declare the righteousness of the cross, for God himself is judge.
Amen.
Thank you. is from Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13, and chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. whom you are well pleased, be all glory, laud, and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they saw no one, no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Grace and peace be unto you in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I said in the announcements, the season of Epiphany is over. And what Epiphany is about, if you remember, and I know you do, is that Jesus Christ is the light, the true light that comes into the world for everyone. His light is for everyone. I want to remind you that the season of Epiphany begins, what was it, six weeks ago, but it begins with a passage in Matthew 3, the gospel for the beginning of Epiphany, is the baptism of Jesus Christ. It ends with transfiguration. And it's interesting that at his baptism, we hear, you are my beloved Son. And we hear those words again, but with a twist. One of the twists is at his baptism, if you've not noticed it, and that's one of the reasons we need to read the scripture very slowly to notice these things. At his baptism, Jesus is the recipient of God's declaration. In his baptism, God says to Jesus, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now at the transfiguration, it said to everyone, this is my beloved Son. And that light shines, and the whole world sees the Father's absolute and total approval of Christ. What the law demanded, Jesus fulfilled. I want to draw some parallels, and I'm not going to, for time's sake, I'm not going to turn to Exodus, but trust me, it's there. I'm not lying to you. If you want the references, I can give it to you afterwards. But here's some parallels between when Moses went up to receive the law and this event that we just heard Jen read of the transfiguration. The first is there's 6 days. Both 6 days before the giving of the law and 6 days because of this, before this. The 6 days speaks and reflects back to the work of creation. And now in this recreation, after the 6th day, we enter into that day of rest. They both speak of clouds and the voice of the cloud coming out of the authority. For clouds are always the presence of God and that Shekinah glory that was at the mercy seat and that cloud that led them through the wilderness. We, as I said, we see God's voice coming out of the cloud. They both have 3 companions. There's a reaction of fear to the presence of God. And there's this transformed appearance. The Greek word is metamorphia, which we get metamorphosis, like a caterpillar turns into a worm. Well, that's not right. caterpillar turns into a butterfly. That would be a degradation. A step down, I think, for a caterpillar. And the beautiful thing is, that word that we get metamorphosis from is only used twice in the New Testament. Once here to speak of Jesus' transfiguration, and the other, and what a wonderful promise, is in Galatians, the only other, is in Galatians 4:19, when Paul says, I'm travailing until Christ be formed in you. So we, through that process, never perfectly until we get to glory, but we have that transformation. The final parallel I want to share is Joshua is mentioned in Exodus as being with Moses when the law was given. And as you know, Joshua is a Hebrew word for Yeshua. And guess who's at the transfiguration? Front and center, Jesus Christ. In the law, Joshua, Yeshua, saves, is just an attendant to the law. But because in Jesus Christ the law was fulfilled, that in Jesus Christ, as Peter failed to recognize, there's no longer a need for three tents. There's only one. That final word of Jesus Christ who spoke it into existence. And if you remember, or listen carefully when Jim was reading, as soon as God spoke, guess what happened? Moses and Elijah, symbolic of the law and the prophets, as soon as God said, this is my beloved son, there's no one else there. And that needs to remind us in a very visible way that we can never have Jesus and something else. Don't you wish we lived in a more simple day? Don't you wish people... I don't want to get political, but don't you wish people could just be American? Don't you wish people could just be Christian? Don't you wish that we could just be without these divisions? There's a truth in theology and in life, we'll explore it maybe sometime again, that whenever you put an adjective, you destroy the essence of the truth when you add an adjective to it. I'm not an Irish American. I'm an American. And so when I say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I add nothing to that. He's the only one. And that was Peter's mistake when Peter said, let's make three tents so all of my heroes can be celebrated. And in his impetuousness, he realized, we only have one hero. I appreciate how Mona picks up the hymns and the Spirit just leads that process for her. And what we say in the first two hymns are exactly right. We don't have a multitude of holy people. We only have one who's holy. One God and Savior. And that's what we are told here. The second twist, then I'll get into the heart of the message. The second twist between the word spoken at baptism and the word spoken here at transfiguration is not just that it's addressed to everyone now, but he adds that little phrase, listen to him. Listen to him. He's the final word. I like to watch trivia type shows when I'm too tired to read, and one of them is, you'll be a millionaire, and the host always asks him, is that your final answer? Almost to the point that it's irritating. I mean, they just said the answer. Why do you have to have me confirm that it's the final answer? Well, in almost that same emphatic way, we must stand firm, not just in our belief structure, not just in our identity as a Christian church, but in our walk through the difficulties of life. Our level of peace is going to be contingent upon the fact that we can say, yes, that's my final answer. Jesus Christ alone. And there are three aspects of that that I want to look at very briefly. The first aspect is that Jesus Christ, as we see in his transfigured glory, is the one and only authority. The one and only authority. There's a real sociological problem that's even broader than Christianity. It's been around for a long time. It's been made worse with television and the internet. But it's called the tyranny of the experts. And what that means is you get caught in between all these expert voices and you don't know what to do. My grandfather used to say that the man who has one watch knows what time it is. The man that has two watches is never for sure. If you have one authority, there's peace. A multitude of authority, as G.K. Chesterton said, when you reject the one true God, it doesn't mean you have no gods, it means you now have 1,000 gods and you don't know which one to listen to. He is the one and only authority. A colloquial way you could put it, which would be quite literally true, is he wrote the book about living life. Jesus is the Word from the beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Christ, and the Word was Christ. But he's also the final Word in Hebrews 1. The author said in various times and in sundry ways, God spoke in the prophets in different ways, but now, from this point forward, he only speaks Jesus. I speak English with a southern accent, proudly. God can only speak in the accent of Jesus Christ. He's the one and only authority. He's first and he's last. And we're going to speak that in just a few minutes when we say the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker, creator. Not just back then, but he's the creator, the maker, the one who has authority in the situation you're dealing with right now. He didn't stop being creator. We serve no deistic God that just set it in motion and took his hands off of it. He's continuing in his providence to be the authority. You say, well, I don't see it. Well, we don't live by faith. Sight. We live by faith. And the word is, he's the one who has the authority and is creating and working all things right now to his glory. The second aspect of him being the only word is he's the only one and only perspective. We have the mind of Christ, Paul tells us in Corinthians, and we should only listen to him as we approach life. Jesus says as much in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And the terminology there basically means, are you sick and tired of living? I've been thinking of the malaise of our society. And maybe several decades ago, John Cougar Mellencamp addressed it when he said in that very poignant line, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Life goes on. And we have to take a perspective, and when we don't, we become heavy laden. There's a darkness, like a wet, cold blanket that lays on us. And what Jesus said is, if you're laboring with that, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke, that was a idiom of the day that meant take my perspective. If I was yoked with another ox, both of us oxes would be facing in the same direction. So to be yoked with someone means you're looking at things the same way. Look at life, Jesus said, the way I do, and it'll be much easier. Let me give you the grace of that. Listen to him and not politicians. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Listen to him and not politicians. Listen to him and not business leaders. Listen to him and not investment gurus. Listen to him and not the most recent health report you got. Listen to him and not your own worries and fears. Listen to him. And then the final one is he's our one and only hope. There is no other hope. All the catechisms say that. We may hope for certain things, but he is the only hope that will never fail. When I was 9 years old, 1971, I saw a movie that really moved me. It became a formative movie. It was somewhat traumatic, but it's in a good way, in a way. It wasn't that it was a bad movie. It was just, I guess maybe it was my coming of age. I was just beginning at nine to realize that maybe life isn't as easy as I had frolicked through. And it might surprise you because it was a wonderful movie. It's probably still on Hallmark. It was in 1971, and it was called A Homecoming, A Christmas Story. It's what began the Waltons. And it was haunting to me. And I'm not talking about Patricia O'Neill's voice. That was sort of shaky too. But the movie itself was haunting. If you remember the movie, it's Christmas Eve, 1933. John Boy's living in the city, but he's going home for Christmas. But it wasn't an easy road trip. And what I remember from that movie, it was a long trip. It was dark. There are not street lights. He's driving through the woods. It's a terrible snowstorm. And he was lonely, driving alone. He finally made it to home, but he realized, if you remember the movie, that his dad was working in another part of the Commonwealth, so he went out to find his dad. And again, it was dark, and it was cold, and it was lonely, and there was a terrible snowstorm. There were lots of debris and obstacles. There was confusion and fear. Sounds a lot like life, doesn't it? How did they know when they got home? How did they know when they were there? They saw the light of home. And I remember that scene in the movie where they finally see the light, and it's like all the fear and all the confusion and all the loneliness evaporated because they were home. I guess the message of Transfiguration, if you allow me to put it to you this way, is Christ is the only light of home. When that hotel says they'll leave the light on, God is saying to all of us, in the difficulties and the loneliness and the tragedies and the confusion and pain and darkness of life, God says, I'll leave a light on. And it's only Jesus Christ. He is our hope. But let me close with a caveat and a story. The caveat is, and I don't know why, but it just seems to be true if you read history, it usually is the most dark right before the light. And let me tell you one of my favorite stories. You may know it, and it bears hearing it again. There's a missionary that gets stranded on an island, and to his knowledge, seems to be uninhabited. So he waits for a while to be rescued, and he's not. So he thinks, well, I guess I need to adjust to the new normal or the current reality. So he goes about trying to adjust to living alone on this deserted island. And he plants a little garden, and he just begins building a hut that he can live in. And he had lived once or twice, still no hope, or at least any hope he had was a long sense of long forgotten memory that he'd be rescued. So he went to the other side of the island, and he was gathering food and whatnot. And he came back, and he saw that his little hut, the only thing he owned, the only possession he had, really the only thing he could count on, had caught on fire and was up in flames. And he said, God, I don't understand this. I know your promises that you love me and you'll take care of me, and I've tried to live a contented life in the state that I'm in, and you destroyed the only thing that I really had. 2 days later, a ship arrived to rescue them. And when they asked, "How did you find me?" He said, "We saw the smoke of your burning hut." See, Jesus Christ is the light that we remember even in the darkest of times. And that hut that you think is a tragedy, the transfiguration and ultimately his resurrection reminds us it may be just the most shining light of glory we can experience. Amen?
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating and liberating God, you called your people into covenant with you and sealed your trust with Moses on the mountain. You called your people back to that covenant through your prophets, and spoke in a still, small voice to Elijah on a mountain. Then in your Son Jesus, on a mountain you stood between the law and the prophets, and revealed the radiance of your gospel. On Calvary's hill, your Son redeemed us by the blood of your new covenant. And on the mountain in Galilee, he ascended to your right hand on high. And so we gladly thank you, celebrating your glory with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, dazzled by your face and singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dazzling God, you set up your tent and you make your dwelling among us. Abide with us now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that your people may become a temple of your presence, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Transfiguring God, it is good for us to be here. Through this holy sacrament, make us your sons and daughters, and be close to all children who have no one, to share your love and mercy with them. Make us your beloved, and visit all who have no one to call them beloved. Give us grace to listen to your voice, and bring to your heart any who have no one to listen to them. Surround us with your prophetic company and take us up into the whirlwind of your glory until the day comes when the waters of the Jordan are parted and the heavens are opened
and the chariots bring us home to you. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, life is all about memories. And maturity is all about memories, of being reminded. There's a lot of naysayers that want to remind you of things best left forgotten. But there's also a lot of good reminders we need. We thank God for the gift of His Paraclete, who runs alongside of us, reminding us of the truth of God's love and presence, the promise that He will never leave nor forsake us. And may we hear that promise of the Holy Spirit and not forget in the darkness that Jesus Christ is the light, and light will shine out of darkness. We come to remind each other, to be reminded ourselves, and to know that when the Father looks upon the Son's nail-pierced hands, He remembers that covenant made with all His children in Christ Jesus. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body and blood of our Lord. Al and Andy will be up here for you if you'd like prayer. And just may this be a healing time as we come to this table, as the early church called it. It's a fount of healing, a bounty of medicine for our soul, which needs it most. Come, let us partake. Thank you.
As Jeremiah, we defined your word and we consumed it. And we found it sweet. With the psalmist, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. May we in the bitterness of life remember your goodness. In the darkness of the valley, may we remember the splendor of your light. And in the confusion of the world, may we remember the absolute security of your one and only true word. And in his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and we'll close our worship singing sort of an understatement. Hymn 63, Awesome God. Let's go and love to serve our Lord. Amen.
Amen.